You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
Who was the second hottest golden girl? Oh, you want to rank the hot golden girls?
It's time for your sunrise guys.
If Blanche is number one,
was she the first TV cougar?
Ooh.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
You're going to say Estelle. You're going to surprise me, and I'm not going to judge you for it. Estelle seems like she was probably wild.
Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. We got Stephen Vaughn hanging out with us, day two, day dose. Mm-hmm. He's pulling double duty today as well. He'll be hopping on with Isaac and Suk at primetime today. And he's going to go take a little napski after the show and then come back. So you get a lot of Stephen Vaughn today.
That's right. No Isaac today, too.
Oh, Isaac's out?
Isaac's out.
Where's he going?
I don't really know.
What's he doing?
Did he have to play golf in some tournament?
It was a golf tourney? It was a golf thing.
I'm guessing that's the case.
Yeah. It's a golf.
If I had to guess.
Swag. It's always golf with that guy.
Swag. Really? You? Come on. You'd do it too. You'd be gone if you could.
Yeah.
To golf? Come on. I can't fault anybody for it.
No.
A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. Let's open up the cafe. We got a lot of stuff in the cafe.
It's Friday. We should be having some great specials on a Friday.
We do. It's a biscuits and gravy Friday.
Ooh.
The gravy
I like
train
that.
Rolling in. Do you like biscuits and gravy, Stephen?
Love it, man.
Do you?
Love it, yeah.
One of your favorites?
Yeah. Because when you get a good one, it's delicious. You get the good gravy on it.
Do you make a gravy? Do you do it at home?
No. Oh. I can't do that.
You're not a cook?
Not like that.
You got a pretty simple sausage gravy recipe I could give you.
See, I don't want simple, though. It's got to have some...
It's really good.
Okay.
Just a little milk, butter, a little seasoning.
Milk, butter, flour, you make a roux.
Yeah, you just make a roux.
Put the milk in, get the gravy going. It's all about the spices.
Your wife can't do it one morning. Your family's hungry. You'd be stunned how quick and easy it is to make. Like, that's all it took, huh?
The harder part's doing the homemade biscuits.
Can't be pints.
Homemade biscuits, that requires a little effort.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'd rather just go to Pine State because I know it's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, you're not wrong for pointing that out. But cafe's buzzing today. We got biscuits and gravy, a loaded second hour of the radio program. Let's get it going.
Here's a loose pass. Velda could be off here. Plays to Costa. Nice ball into Costa's path. To Costa, chance to shoot. Plays it across. Bassett. Goal! That is a clinical counterattack, ladies and gentlemen. 4-1 at the end of the first half. And it's all Portland.
There's the Timbers, as heard here on 105.1 The Fan.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Fletcher Johnson.
In the League's Cup, Fletcher Johnson on the call does an exceptional job. Timbers beat Puebla in the League's Cup. They were up 4-1 at half, won 5-2. They play Club America Sunday night.
Yeah, Club America beat FC San Diego 3-1 yesterday.
Okay, are we going to win that match?
This will be, if they win this.
He knows.
Then
I don't know.
They're almost a lock for the knockout round.
Okay, and what happens if we win the League's Cup?
Then they get qualified for, what's it called? It's a CONCACAF.
I was going to say CONCACAF as a joke, and then you said
no,
that.
No, it's a CONCACAF Continental Club Tournament.
Oh, that's pretty easy to remember.
I don't know what remembered the actual name of it is.
Okay.
But
High left side, screen from DeLeo with a burst to the foul line with 3 seconds, back away, 18-footer, late, splashes it with 1.2 entry fee. Tiki Rice, no shot, and Carla Late gives the Portland Fire a game-high 14-point halftime lead.
A little double-duty Odyssey Sports yesterday. That's A.J. Cannell and Portland Fire Radio on 910 ESPN. Carla Late's jumper at the end of the first half. Really, no worries in this one. Stevie Fire, you come through. The Fire dominate the Toronto Tempo and win 97-83.
Yeah, they don't call me Stevie Fire for no reason. But yeah. They were great. They were great last night. Tempo, I believe, have now lost eight in a row. The Fire lost five in a row coming to the game, but tell you what, the Fire Pit's a tough place to play.
It is.
Yeah. The crowd gets into it. They actually play a lot better.
Second and third quarter, the Fire just put on a clinic.
Yeah, they've been bad since SAB has been out, but
I mean, she's a pretty good player.
She's good, yeah. She's one of their best players. So, but Carla Lade is awesome. Shawarma, as I call him, Sarama, the head coach, he's great. The Fire's fun, man.
Mm-hmm.
They're a terrible team.
Did you see Greg yesterday? Did they show him on the broadcast?
I didn't see him. Again, it was on the second screen.
Okay.
But I didn't see any crowd shots necessarily or focusing in on.
I'm assuming they put him on the big screen at some point.
Probably in the arena, I would think you would have to.
They better have.
Yeah, Fire snapped their losing streak and beat the Tempo.
Order up. 4.8 to go. Stephanie Talbot to inbound for Las Vegas. And Tosselhead nearly thrown away. Great opportunity. Cash!
Chelsea Gray, pump fake, just walks into a three. We're in overtime in Naptown.
Clark, her pass taken away by Wilson. Mm. Shot clock off. 3 seconds. Chelsea Gray for three. Yes, bam!
Are you kidding me?
Prime Video on the call. Chelsea Gray with the bucket to send it to overtime. The Aces in Indiana come back from 20 down. Aja Wilson really the star of the second half. Gray hit the shots. Aja Wilson had 18 points in the second half. And Clark a little bit of struggles at the end of the fourth quarter and in overtime. And they blow the 20-point lead. Aces get the win.
Yeah, so Chelsea Gray hits the buzzer beater to send it to overtime and then hits the game-winning three.
Did you watch this one, Stevie?
Yeah, I had it on during primetime. Caitlin Clark did not play very well. She hit two threes late in the fourth quarter, and then she shot a terrible one with 14 on the shot clock when they were up. And then, of course, that last play where she goes against Aja Wilson and then just gets absolutely just manhandled and tossed to the ground. Not a foul. Should not have been a foul call, by the way.
Yeah.
Loose ball, just get off of me, little Caitlin Clark. But, Caitlin Clark, dude, she's good, but sometimes when she plays these really good teams, she struggles a little bit. And you saw that at the end of the game. She hit a couple shots, and then she's feeling herself. Made some bad plays.
It's setting up
and missed two free throws, too.
And the free throws, yeah. It's setting up to be a nice little postseason. That was a great game last night.
Order up. Up the middle, base hit. Here he comes. Sogard rounding the throw home. And the Sox win again. What a wild ride on a roller coaster tonight. And that's 8 in a row and another sweep.
That's Dave O'Brien, Red Sox TV on Nesson. Caleb Durbin, walk-off hit for the Red Sox in the 11th against the White Sox. So they won the Sox off. They have won 30 of their last 35 games. And let me point this stat out to you. They were 0-26 this season when trailing by four or more runs. That also snapped. Are the Red Sox going to – what's happening here?
I mean, this is insane.
This is one of the hottest moments we've ever seen.
If this continues all the way, I don't know if they can chase down the Rays, but if they overtake the Yankees and make things tight with the Rays at the end of the season, how Chad Tracy's not manager of the year in the American League is beyond me.
They're the first team since 1961 to sweep six different opponents who entered the series in first place in their division. Like, they're not just beating bad teams.
They're beating
good teams. And now you add Adley? I mean, come on.
They took the Dodgers apart in Dodger Stadium.
They did. They have Dodger fans panicked right now by how they beat them. They're only a half game back of the
Yankees,
by the way.
Now, will they face any of the pitchers in the playoffs that they faced in that series
for the Dodgers? Did they peak too
early? I wondered that a couple
question.
Days ago.
Can they keep this going? Maybe not at this pace, but...
Because there's still quite a bit of the season left.
Yeah. Well, fortunately for them... They've got the Rays to chase down. They're right there with the Yankees, so they're battling for some home field advantage and possibly.
It's almost good that they started out so bad because they still have to keep.
They
have to put their foot
yet.
On the pedal. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can't take it off.
Yeah, where are they at in the wild card?
Like, they're second. They're pretty
they are.
Safe.
That's the thing for how
they're
good they've second. Been. They're still, you know, like.
But
said, they're
right
chasing.
There with the Yankees, so they're only.
They're six and a half. Hold on.
But they got a nice cushion from falling out.
Yeah, they're six
out.
And a half up on the Rangers, who are third in the wild
the
card.
The third wild card spot is way back.
And this next team that I'm going to show the highlight is a game and a half back.
Order up.
One of the most deflating losses of the year for the Mariners. They get absolutely boat raced, 11-0. They are held without an extra base hit. Need a position player to finish it off. It was a bad way to finish off this series. The Tigers win it. They win two games in lopsided shutout
fashion. I've played a lot of Aaron Goldsmith in my time. I don't know if I've heard Aaron Goldsmith so utterly disgusted
that
by
they
his
were
performance.
Booing at the end of that. Victor Robles had to come on and pitch the ninth.
That's Mariners TV. The Mariners didn't just lose to Detroit and the series. They lost 11-0 to the Tigers.
That was a bummer-sounding Aaron Goldsmith.
I've never heard him that deflated and disgusted.
Well, the Tigers are now ahead of the Mariners in the wild card race, by the way.
After trading Tarek Skubal.
Yeah. They literally are trying to, you know, they trade their best player in a long time, and now they're past the Mariners.
I don't know what you do there, but your division still sucks, so don't panic yet.
If the Mariners don't make the playoffs, someone has to pay the price, right?
Is it? It's probably Dan Wilson.
It's got to be.
It's got to be DePoto at this point.
What makes you think his job's in jeopardy? It feels like that ownership doesn't want to do that at
They
all.
Love that guy.
They do love that guy. What's their winning shouldn't. Percentage? 54?
No, they're below 500.
Oh, damn. They need to get to 54.
That's all they got to do.
Well, 54 would win the division this year.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You get back in the postseason.
Now, they do have their schedule gets easier in September. They get the A's, the Rockies.
They just played the Tigers. Aren't the Tigers not good?
Well, the Tigers are still technically in contention. They're not bad.
Pretty much everyone, though, in the American League
the
is still in it.
Four games below 500, and you're sitting here scheduling like as if they got easy teams?
Well, it gets easier.
I guess.
They see.
I couldn't think of a more special moment to be here with you guys to officially announce that Jonathan is here to...
What's going on, Carlton Nation? We appreciate you guys for taking the time out of your evening to be here today. We love and appreciate you guys. But with that being said, on behalf of Carly, Casey, and Kaylin, they want to give the greatest NFL fans in the world a round of beers.
Boy, how about that? You go to a camp practice not expecting much other than to see your team.
Yeah.
And then Carly Ursay Gordon, the new owner of the Colts, steps to the mic and says, we've signed our franchise running back to a two-year, $44 million deal.
Next round's on us.
And I'm buying around. What do the people who don't drink alcohol and the kids get? Because they've got to have an alternative,
gotta
right?
Got to have some root beer or something.
A soda, a juice or something.
Yeah. Juice box.
Is it just beer? Is that all it was? I'm just buying beers?
There's giving beer to everybody.
It is Indianapolis.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Force it.
Jonathan Taylor, 2 years, $44 million. Choose your fighter. Jonathan Taylor, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
I love Jahmyr.
I think he's awesome.
Oh, he's so good.
And it might just be because of that offense, too. Like, they use him great, but I think he is incredible.
I think I'd take Bijan.
You taking Bijan?
Bijan's always there.
Isn't Gibbs?
I don't know.
The Falcons rely more on Bijan is the thing.
I mean, yeah, he's kind of more offense.
If he ever gets some complimentary pieces
I do think he's grossly underrated somehow. I know he just got paid, but I do think Taylor, like, flies under the radar of the conversation.
Taylor is
Because Daniel Jones got a lot of the attention last year. He was awesome, Jonathan Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
So he got paid. All of them been paid.
I think that's
the running back back?
I think the running back's been back. I think McCaffrey, Barkley, and now you got Taylor, Bijan, Gibbs, Henry still doing it. Like, James Cook got paid last summer. Yeah. I think the running back, I think it's safe the running back is back.
Order up. Game on the line. King, he's going to step up. Pumps, runs, goal line. Is he in? Yes! Carolina wins! Haynes King! King of the night!
I'll tell you this. Say what you want about the Hall of Fame game. Mike Tirico in mid-season form on that call.
That's one of the better Mike Tirico calls I can remember.
Say.
And if you're calling that game, that's all you ask for.
You got to bring some juice.
Normally, they're just trying to stay awake at the end of those, like,
I mean, usually they're having conversations.
They're conversations
not involving
about the season.
Game.
The Hall of Famers are up there. What's coming up? And you actually had a game to call down the stretch.
Good practice for Mike Tirico to get midseason form there.
Order up. Yeah, I think the reality is every player, I mean, they have to prove themselves every year. So I'd say overall, I mean, we're proud of the program that we've developed. We feel like we got a pretty good foundation in place with a lot of really good people. We have one of the best head coaches in the league. So we're proud of, I'd say, our program. We understand, like, look, in the end, everybody has the same goals and expectations. that you want to be playing meaningful football late in the season. So our focus right now is on training camp and really getting ready for the start of the season, which we got a pretty big challenge here in front of us, week one, you know, against Buffalo, who's been, you know, one of the best teams in the league.
That's Nick Caserio, the GM of the Houston Texans. Stevie Vaughn, Could you tell that that question he was asked was how he feels about C.J. Stroud?
No, you could not tell that. I'll tell you what, C.J. Stroud's got a lot of pressure on him going into this year, man. Just think back, like, what was it, two, 3 years ago when he got drafted?
He was the darling.
He was the dude.
Yeah.
He's gone away.
I'm wondering if this is Jaden Daniels' future, if he can't stay healthy. Like, we're doing this debate in a year or two with Jaden Daniels.
100%. And I love Jaden Daniels.
Are you in or out on Stroud? I think we all have to make a decision this year.
I'm in.
I'm in, too.
I'm in on him.
I am, too.
I think it was just a weird circumstance, but he did look terrible in that Patriots game. But the weather was also horrible at the same time.
It was. They still should have won that game.
They should have.
Their defense was so mother bleeping awesome in that game.
You're right on that, because the defense is so good, he just has to not mess up.
Exactly.
Like, just don't screw around and you're fine.
Yeah.
Order up!
He's the number one receiver in this league going up against the number one corner. I mean, that's how it's going to go. You know, it's football at the end of the day. You know, it's never disrespect or anything. You know, we're just battling and getting each other better. He's gonna face corners like that are, you know, gonna yap at him, gonna try to get in his head, and I'm gonna face receivers like that are strong and come right back at me. So it's great work for the both of us.
Former Duck Christian Gonzalez trying to get paid in New England, going in one-on-ones against AJ Brown. They got into a little bit of a scuffle, really pushing each other. He is still looking for a contract extension in New England.
Probably deserves it, too. I mean, he's awesome. Going against A.J. Brown as well. You know, the preseason fights, whatever. It is what it is. It happens all the time. But, yeah, I mean, the Patriots, they got to lock him down. He's a real key to that defense, and he's been awesome since he's been in the league.
He absolutely has.
Order up!
Okay, first day down. So that was a good first day. As you guys have been with us now for 3 years, day one, fundamentals, no crosswork. No real competitive periods at all. We'll do the same thing tomorrow, replicate that same type of day, add maybe one period max. But other than that, it's all about getting better. It's all about finding a way to improve our fundamentals, improve our way to, so when we get to a spot where come Sunday, we're competing against one another, we're in the best possible shape we can be in. But, everybody looks good. Everybody was out there, that we talked about, participating in one way, shape, or form. So glad to see where we are as a program, and now it's time to have practice number two.
There is Jed Fish, day one for the Washington Huskies.
Washington fans hate this guy, right?
Ooh. Like, can you hate him? Why would you hate him? Let me ask you that. Why would you hate Jed Fish?
This is not – he doesn't want to be there. They're not
saying that. He keeps coming back.
They're not – yeah, because no one else wants him. I don't know. Jed Fish, man.
I'll put that up as a poll question. Do Washington Husky fans hate Jed Fish?
Like, I feel like nobody's excited about Jed Fish. And the team is decent. Like, you know, they got some talent this year. The schedule kind of breaks right for Washington. There's a chance that they have a really good record. There's a chance that they could be 9-1 heading into their last two games, and they play Indiana and Oregon and have a chance to make the college football playoff, if all things break right.
Well, can I ask you this? So what you're telling me is Jed Fish has built a good program.
Yeah, they're fine. They're a fine program.
They had no players. I think they had in total on both sides of the ball. I hope I don't have this wrong. They have like less than three players back from the title team.
Yeah.
And he won what? Is it six games year one? And then last year they're 8-4. But they lost a couple games they shouldn't have.
But at the same time, that's if everything breaks right. Last year, in their wins, they averaged 41.5 points. In their losses, under 10.
Yeah. Absolutely. The Wisconsin game is the game you just cannot lose.
Yeah, it was Wisconsin, Ohio State, Oregon, and blanket on the other team.
I think Dirk
Michigan. It was Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan.
They averaged less than 10 points a game in those games.
I mean, DeMond against the better defenses and teams
has been terrible.
He's not looked very good.
I don't know. Jed Fish is not on the hot seat, I don't think, but as soon as someone else offers him a job, he's deuces.
I mean, he called out their NIL not being very good. I think absolutely if a better job opens up, I think
his wife has made it clear she does not like Seattle.
She doesn't live there. Yeah, you are correct.
Order up.
This was talked about just openly within the organization and from people working on the project that Kawhi was a spokesperson for Daktronix. And it was just the biggest thing. It was just openly joked about within people working on the project that knew about this, as it was 1,000% a way to circumvent the salary cap.
And over months of vetting, the second high-level Clippers source, a former official, they also independently confirmed something else, which is that this Kawhi deal was not only talked about by fellow higher-ups at the Clippers and Daktronics as a way to circumvent the NBA salary cap.
There's Pablo Torre. Pablo Torre has found out that Kawhi Leonard has circumvented the salary cap of the Clippers again with a different company. First, it was Aspiration, and now it's a scoreboard electronic company called Daktronics, who doesn't do advertising, doesn't have spokesmen. We're paying Kawhi Leonard secretly, and now he's exposed another circumventing of the salary cap for old Stevie Ballmer.
I mean, pretty wild. I hope that they do come down hard on this, and they do, you know, punish Steve Ballmer and the Clippers and all this kind of stuff. But at the same time, it's kind of like when you hear, like, recruiting violations and stuff. It's like, I kind of feel like everyone's doing stuff.
Well, also, like, what is the punishment at this point? And now how much longer do we got to wait?
It's just draft picks, right?
Which ones are you taking?
Yeah, they don't have any. It's a good point.
Can you take away Oklahoma City's? They might actually want you to. They have too many.
But at the same time, it's like, I feel like if the Clippers are doing this stuff, I feel like a lot of teams are probably doing this stuff, and that's why it took so long to get figured out by Pablo Torre. Like, these other owners are like, man, I hope they don't figure this out.
Yeah.
My first question was, why isn't the NBA hiring Pablo Torre to head up the NBA security department? That was my thought.
Because they don't want it.
No, they don't want this. They
this is a bad
out.
Look.
It's a terrible look.
I got a clean house.
Everyone thinks the NBA's rigged anyways.
Hammer the Clippers, but we talked about this earlier. I saw this and I was like, oh, another company. And I laughed. But I don't really care.
Right.
Make the trade official, hammer the Clippers, do whatever you need to do. Find Kawhi or you know, suspend him, whatever. Be done with this.
I don't think Kawhi cares. Kawhi got his money and he's going to go out and play and have no facial expressions.
When was the last time Kawhi did care?
And never.
Toronto?
And he's awesome. One of my favorite players ever. And he doesn't care about this.
Kawhi Leonard's one of your favorite players?
Yeah.
Just because of his game?
Yeah.
Yeah. The personality has always brought it down a little bit for me.
But the offense, defense, dude?
I can't argue
with
it. All-time great laugh, too, in a press conference. Didn't get to all the audio there, but there's Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. We do it every day at 7 a.m. An update on the local dealings. We'll get to that next on 105.1 The Fan.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Blazer coverage on The Fan presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One prize, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. I want to get to some audio from one NBA player coming up in the next segment, but I want to do an update real quick here as we roll on hour number two. Stephen Vaughn sitting in for Dirt. Trailblazers yesterday in the county got some good news. The Blazers looking to get that monies, and Multnomah County Board of Commissioners had a meeting that was, you know, scheduled to go through, all talk it out, and then get approved, and then that somehow turned into just an absolute S show there for a while. And ultimately, they approved a term sheet that would grant up to $101.6 million to redo the 31-year-old Moda Center. The board voted 4-1 to approve the funding, which is $13.6 million more than the original $88 million proposed in March. The increase accounts for the maintenance and service costs, though two commissioners questioned how and where the funding will come from. Jessica Vega Peterson, who has been very pro give the money, the county chair, she said, quote, "I want this step today to be seen by the NBA and its board of governors to know just how serious we are about keeping the Blazers here in Portland." We wait for the city vote next week. That is on
Wednesday the 12th.
Thank you. So that happened Wednesday. And by the way, heads up on that. Already have it scheduled. Wright Gasaway will be in studio with Dirt on Wednesday, the day of the vote.
And he's been incredible, by the way.
I mean, he's been sensational. Yep. He's been far and away the best one on this. And I don't mean that as a slight to anybody else, but he's just, it's been great. He's become a megastar here in our local city, and he deserves it. So he'll be in studio on our show Wednesday morning to basically tell you, and we think we know the answer already, the city, are they going to vote for it or not? But that's the final step. The state has already approved the monies. The county yesterday approved the monies. We wait for the city vote, but it's trending in a very, very positive direction. What I like about Jessica Vega, Stephen, is what she said there, I think is very important. Step today, seen by the NBA and its Board of Governors, you cannot point to Portland right now and say, you're not serious about this. The state's given you a ton of money. The county's gone above what we thought they would. And I believe the city is going to approve that next week. And so the right also had that the Blazers internally shared documents about an architect for the remodel and the renovations. And I can't help but view that, but anything but positive. The architect, by the way, has redone multiple European stadiums for Premier League teams. And so it's somebody very well respected. So really good news yesterday, even though it took us forever because the county board meeting was an utter joke involving Lightning, by the way, the Tom Dundon copycat.
Yeah, that guy's having a moment, by the way, Lightning. I didn't watch it, but you read some of the highlights and some of the people were texting in yesterday and they're like, man, it was a complete S show that was going on. But ultimately, as you said, when Wright reported that right after it happened that, you know, they got the agreement and they got the votes on it. And it's what I've been saying the whole time is I think this deal gets done. They stay in Portland. And you're right, Brandon. Like, now everything is lined up where Portland's on board. You know, we're on board with everything. And they're showing the NBA that they're on board. So now it's really, if Tom Dundon wanted to leave, he has to show his cards. He has to say, I want to leave.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was the case. I don't think that's ever been the case. So we will find out his true intentions because it seems like we're getting our ducks in the row here to renovate Moda. And that would be great, obviously, you know, just for the city of Portland, for all the Blazer fans and everything. So we'll see. But I think we're kind of on the same page that this seemed like it was going to be a deal. It was going to get done at some point, and deadlines just kind of push that forward, right? Like, you can posture all you want, but as soon as you get close to those deadlines, it's going to make you have to make a decision. And I'll give the government a little bit of credit. We're getting our ducks in a row, and it's kind of coming out, and they're saying, look, we know how important this is, and we got to get it done.
It was a little bit of a journey to get to that point,
right,
given what we've had some of the local politicians do publicly, and then we have these county meetings where you're watching them kind of go at each other and vote down things and question everything. I mean, it was always going to be a kind of an annoying process, yes. I think, going in.
I think we just underestimated how annoying it was going to be.
I think that's very fair. But, like, also that's not just the city commission council stuff. That's also on Tom Dundon's end. Like,
yeah, he did not help.
Not at all.
No.
I mean, my God, could you just at least one time work with us publicly here? And he doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to talk. He wants Dwayne Hankins to do it all for him. But, I mean, look, you can already have thought this. I've thought the whole time they're not relocating. I've never bought into it. I text with different media members that cover the league that are in it from time to time. I don't bother people a lot. And I just like kind of, and it's mainly like there's a lot of owners that kind of don't like this dude. This is not some well-received, let's all be Tom Dundon in the NBA. There's a lot of owners that actually feel the opposite of him and think he's not been good for them already. And he's owned it only a short amount of time. But the thing for me was just always they don't have a place to go. It is real leverage he can use, but the Oregonian reported a couple days ago he might be looking at a $1 billion relocation fee if he can even muster up the votes.
Well, if he's so cheap, he doesn't want to fork that over.
Where are you getting $1 billion?
No.
I don't think he has it.
No.
So it's, and you could, well, the city he's going to, like, okay, name it. Kansas City ain't giving you $1 billion to just be there, especially when they'd have to renovate their arena. So it's never really lined up for me personally. I've heard it my entire life through like four different columnists. Oh, they're going to leave. Oh, they're going to leave. Oh, they're going to leave. It's just constantly. And so I just don't buy it. I do think it was a real thing where the city, the county, the state needed to step up and provide the funds. And I'm looking forward to the renovations. I think ultimately in a few years, we're going to be like, dude, this is awesome. We were talking to Odin yesterday. And, you know, there's certain things I won't share, but like Greg was kind of agreeing with Steven and I of like, that area sucks. And he was like, I used to hear about how they were going to build it up and make it great. And
jump,
I was like,
Jump Town.
Like, yeah, we've heard that our whole lives and they never have. So I hope with the renovation stuff and if they can be better than we expect and win and they pack the house and business can start slowly trickling back in, that's the next challenge for our local government leaders is be more business friendly. I think if that stuff can happen, man, this is something that you look at and you go, this is a great district that we built up here.
The tough part is probably the land that would be most useful is the parking garages to knock down and turn into places to go and do stuff, retail, restaurants, those sorts of things. So then parking becomes an issue, but that's secondary.
You can make the district big. You got the Albina Vision that they want to build up by the water there. That's going to make it look better if they can get that
going. They already redid Memorial Coliseum.
Yep, Memorial's been done again. Like, I think they're going to line that area with food trucks. Would be the restaurant solved there, I think.
Yep.
That would look really cool. It's very Portland of us to do that. And, you know, it's just like try to build that up and just make it a destination. Make us want to go there on a random non-Blazer day.
And the thing about it is, I think, what, you know, if and when they get these Moda Center renovations done, we're going to realize how bad the Moda Center has been and is how bad of a
you'll
shape
start
it is.
Seeing it, and it won't go right away because you have to bid on certain things, but the type of events, other events that will come to Moda
because
Center.
That's the argument a lot of people are like, oh, it's fine. Moda Center's fine. Well, yeah, it might be fine.
What are you missing out? I don't think we understand what we're missing out on or can't even get in the game for.
Right.
Because of terms
Have you been to other, like, newer arenas, Steven?
No, but I just read about them, and it's like, man, these
Climate
are...
Pledges.
Climate Pledge is amazing.
They're all like spaceships.
We went... the Pilots actually went down and played in the Kings when it was...
Stellar reviews of that place.
That place was amazing.
And that's the thing, is I think people... Because we love nostalgia, we love the Blazers, so we're like,
nostalgia,
we just love
more
the Moda Center.
Yeah. College,
so it's just like, yeah.
Right.
College arenas... That's where you want the nostalgia.
Right.
Like, what's going on? Why couldn't they have figured out a way to retrofit Mac Court, spruce it up, but keep the Mac Court nostalgia? Because Matt Knight Arena's been... It's a gorgeous facility, but there's no atmosphere the way there was at Mac Court.
It feels very corporate and not college. Yeah.
Right, which
That's
is what
problem.
The NBA is. The NBA is about
the NBA
corporate.
Is.
Corporate.
The NBA is slick and glitzy and all of those things.
Suites matter. Like,
yep.
People need. You may not be able to be in a suite. Your company might not have suite tickets. Suites matter, man. You want to attract more business, you got to have improve everything. I'm with you. I think once we see it over the next few years, you're going to go, man, it really was
yeah,
dated.
It really needed
you'll
it.
See the difference.
Yeah, you'll feel the difference when you walk in. Sometimes I think we're going to walk in and not recognize certain sections. So, good news yesterday, the county approved it. What did you make of his takeaway of the Blazers offseason, by the way? Because I think that's where you and I are in agreement is we don't buy the relocation. We think, okay, get out of your own ways, give the monies, let's start the renovation. Now we're almost to the team stuff.
Yeah.
And I think part of the winning is – to get
part
done
of it.
Like financially invested outside of the ownership, I think if he ever dives in, it's going to be in the district build-up spaces, right? He talked about that at his press conference, but they need to be good. They need people to continue to go to games and be relevant. What did you make of Greg's comments of the Blazers?
I thought it was interesting. He was very high on Ja Morant. And look, I think just you look at the Ja Morant trade, they got him for nothing, so I'm not going to say it's a bad deal. It's a weird fit with the Blazers, but I love the fact that he's like, look, I talked to Ja, and you know, I think he's going to figure out defensively, because that's the problem, right? If they're going to go Dame and Ja, if we're talking on the court, that defensive backcourt is atrocious with Dame and Ja back there.
He also seemed to indicate to us off the air, he's like, Ja's going to not start?
Right.
Kind of what his takeaway was.
Ja's starting.
Is he?
Isn't he?
Why was he asked, and he was like, yeah, I'll do whatever it takes.
What else is he going to say?
I mean...
Because
that's really going to be one of the hardest things for
Mike
Anori is minute distribution.
You're not starting Drew, Ja, and Dame. That's a disaster
decision.
No,
but I think Drew's more... At this age, he'd be like, cool, like fine.
I love Drew off the bench.
I love it too.
But also, I don't love Dame and Ja starting.
The backcourt, the defense is going to be terrible.
That's the worst defensive backcourt you can put together.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the worst starting in the league for sure from a metric standpoint. Although
of all the combinations you can have with those five guards, that's the worst one defensively.
But it could be very exciting.
Is it?
I think so.
Who's worse, Shaden or Dame?
Ooh.
I've watched Shaden play defense before, and it's like, ole.
Because Dame will give effort if he's getting like posted up. Dame,
and he's at least strong. Like
he'll battle.
Yeah, he'll battle. He may not be great, but he'll battle.
Shaden doesn't even battle.
Shaden, I don't think he cares night to night.
Shaden's trying to go dunk.
He's like, I had a bad day of Call of Duty last
you
night.
You might be right. The Josh Shaden.
Josh Shaden could be.
Might be worse.
It might be worse. The problem is that we're having this conversation in general. It's like, what's the worst one they could possibly do?
The question is, what's the best one?
Well,
and if the best one, can you get enough offense going?
I don't buy a lot of offseason stuff. I saw a video this morning of Arch throwing a pass to his receiver and literally no defense was being played by, like, there was no defenders. It was just Arch throwing to a receiver a deep ball.
What a throw.
Arch is so ready. And I'm like, it's the worst thing is when the offseasons happen in football and basketball and we react. All of Dame's offseason video stuff, you don't have to like it. All of it is him playing off ball, off screen.
Because he's never done it before.
I know, and I'm just like wondering, it's great to practice that. Is that really going to be possible for him to implement?
Look, when I worked for the Blazers, this is one thing they told me.
I think for 40 minutes, yes. If it's the end of the game, the last 8 minutes, and they need stuff, then I think Dame's like, give me the ball.
And what's John doing?
And I hate that.
What's John doing?
I want Denny to have the ball.
You want Denny to have the ball. So, Denny, what's his usage rate? This is the problem with the usage rate stuff. Sometimes I buy usage rates being a problem. Other times I don't. This is an instance where I wonder. Because Dame has always been very high usage guy.
He's made $500 million playing one way.
Denny has only become a star because of what? The usage rate is in the 100 to 99 percentile. And John Morant, he's high. I mean, he has to have the ball. You don't have evidence that John Morant is good off ball.
Yeah. When I worked at the Blazers, they said the hardest thing to judge is having someone change their role. Because they play one way and they get to the NBA, why would I ever change it? Dame's literally made $500 million playing one way.
Does Dame ever...
Are we all of a sudden going to see him play off the ball like Steph Curry? I find that hard to believe.
I trust Dame's ability to embrace it and find a way to do it more than Jaws.
That's what I was going to ask, is because of the player he's become, do you guys look at that and say, it doesn't happen, but if somebody can buck a trend... Do you put trust into that guy?
I have more trust in Dame doing it than Ja changing.
I think we underestimate how hard it is to play off the ball.
That's not something
you just can learn.
I don't disagree with you.
That's part of what makes Steph amazing. He can do both.
He's the best I've ever seen off the ball.
Well, he probably thrives the most off the ball. And he's great with the ball. But
Dame will help because he can shoot, but I question his role with this team right now.
That's very
fair. It's
not
his team, it's Denny's team.
Or is it John's team? I mean, you think he's coming in here not thinking, Ja time? You think he's just coming in here and he's like, I'm ready to do whatever you need me to do, coach?
You're right.
I'm fascinated by it. It's crazy. I cannot believe this was their offseason. Aside from the county arguing about money and the city hating each other, like, it's kind of crazy. This was our offseason. I wasn't necessarily wrong. I just was wrong in the wrong way. Like I thought they'd make a move, a decent-sized move. I didn't know it'd be for a point guard. So I had it right, just really wrong at the same time, unfortunately. One NBA note I want to get to, and then we'll dive into the NFL with Mike Sando coming up top of the hour. Dirt and Sprague back with more 743 on The Fan.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL writer released the tier rankings of quarterbacks. That's got a lot of people hot and bothered because their quarterback's either not high enough or properly ranked and you don't want to accept it. I don't know. It just depends how you feel who your guy is. Coming up at 8. But before we do that, I want to stay in the association. Somebody tweeted and said, I think a high IQ player like Dame will learn to play off ball. It's all about winning. And I think that's the aspect, Stephen, that I agree with what you just said in the last segment of underestimating how hard it is to play off ball and then changing the stripes, right? Like who you are is who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's not easy for 99%. I'm just asking, like, I'm not trying to be Mr. Blazer glass guy, glasses guy, but like Dame has done so many things to prove the outside Portland people wrong.
Right.
And we've seen so many things that he's done that's like, holy crap, right?
You just can't believe it.
That there's a part of me that does think, like, I don't know if it's successful. I'm not certainly suggesting that, but like the willingness to say, no, Ja, you bring it up. No, Denny, you bring it up. I bring it up occasionally, and then I pass and I start moving. Like, I don't know what his mobility and athleticism is going to look like off the Achilles. I think you're playing a fool's errand by saying, well, Kevin Durant was great. That has nothing to do with 6'2" Damian Lillard. But there is an element of Dame that he's proven so many people and things wrong that there is absolutely an aspect. I think he can do it. I just don't know if it's going to be good and elite.
Right. No, I'm with you. I think he can do it. I have to see it first. Like, I'm not going to go out and say I feel, you know, I believe he's going to do that. I need to see this first because I do think, as you said, I think we underestimate how hard it is. He also tried to do it in Milwaukee.
I know.
And there was a lot of standing in the corner.
I watched a lot more of those Milwaukee games, I don't think people realize how, like, kind of clunky it really looked.
Right.
Well, the other problem with Milwaukee was they had Giannis just dribbling the ball in ISO or whatever so much. The trick to playing off the ball is having the offense have consistent ball movement and motion. That's how you create openings for wide open shots.
But Giannis is a top 15 player of all time.
I understand.
So he's going to have the opportunity to go one-on-one and to go isolated.
We just assumed that pick and roll was good, and Giannis didn't lean into it, and
no.
It just never, they never quite clicked. Now, they didn't also play a ton of games together.
There was some injury problems, but I also thought Dame, look, Dame, he's always been explosive. Like, his explosiveness is where he's at. He's never been the most athletic guy, but the explosiveness of his first step is incredible. That's where he gets to the rim. He gets fouled. That's where he gets that step-back jumper is the explosiveness. I thought he had lost a step before the Achilles when he was in Milwaukee. Like, the old age.
His last year?
Yes.
I said that the whole season. I watched those, and he still scored 24, and I'm
When he made his return to Portland, I saw in a person, like, he's not as explosive as he once was, and that's fine. Yeah. But now he's 36 coming off an Achilles. And, look, if anyone's going to be able to do it, it's Dame. Like, I'm not doubting that. I just need to see it first before I buy it all in. And so when I see people say, well, Dame's going to get the ball, it's Dame's team again, it's not. Denny Avdija is the best player on this team right now. And so with Dame having to figure it out, now Ja's got to figure it out. I think it could be clunky, but it has potential to be really good.
He's only had one season below a 79 usage rate. That was his second season in the NBA, a 71. He's been a 90-plus usage rate guy, Dame, basically his entire career. His last two seasons in Milwaukee, 79-81.
Yeah.
I mean, to do what we're saying, his usage rate has to drop to what number? 60?
Probably. It can probably be a little higher.
Low 70? Like, back to the 71?
Low 70s, yeah.
That's the tough part of
it. And it's
all
also asking a lot for a 36-year-old off an Achilles.
I know.
Like, I love Dame. I need to see it first before I can fully buy it in. But I I've talked to people and they said, like, when Dame re-signed with Portland, because I brought this up to people, I'm like, hey, like, is Dame going to fall in line? Like, is he going to say this is Denny's team? And apparently that he's fine with that. Like, so you watch these
workout
videos.
Because he's a franchise player.
Yeah.
Like, it's not his team, but he's the franchise
icon.
He's
the favorite player of everybody.
Exactly, yeah.
And so you watch these workout videos and maybe he is going to be fine working off the ball, but I need to see it before I buy in.
Don't blame you for the take. Another player probably going to have to learn to do that because of his team's offseason moves is this guy, Jaylen Brown, who was introduced yesterday as a Sixer, and I want to get your thoughts on him basically doing what we're talking about with Dame because he said this yesterday.
At this point in my career, nothing else really moves me. Like, I don't care about the outside success. I never did. You know what I mean? I don't care about the MVP awards or the finals MVP. None of that stuff really moves me. It's nice. But the only thing that's going to move me is doing something collectively, so a championship. So that's what I'm looking forward to, trying to start that journey and building towards. But, you know, all the other stuff that comes along with it is just a distraction to me. Like, whatever it takes on a night-to-night basis, it's like whatever it takes.
You buying that? Is Jaylen Brown a usage rate's going to drop a little bit because you got Maxey, you got Embiid when he plays, you're going to have LeBron. And I think LeBron's usage rate's going to go down because I think he knows what his role is. But, you know, that's a pretty loaded team. You still have Edgecombe. Like, Brown saying, I'm cool just not being the MVP. That didn't seem to be what the noise was out of Boston.
No. He said on his live stream, like, this was the most fun year he's ever had.
It's cause Which he, is crazy because he got a championship.
He got the ball every time.
Yes,
so,
he did.
Again, it's one of those I got to see to believe. On paper, I think Philly is the best team in the East. Like, you look at that team, you're like, if they're healthy, that is the best team over the Knicks. Are they going to be healthy? I don't know. And I think
Embiid lost weight, Steven.
That could play.
And how long does it take them collectively to figure out how to make it work and smooth and dominate?
They're all good players. I think they can figure it out pretty quickly.
I think what's going to help is LeBron just had to play third fiddle. And I really believe this. I think he is a player that knows his age, his season, and he's like, if I can average 8, 10, and 7, That's a great year for Philadelphia.
And I only
LeBron
have to play
James.
25 minutes a game.
And I don't have to play, like, do you think he wants to play the amount you need to make All-NBA?
No.
I don't.
Other than every once in a while, you know, it's a big game or something, or Embiid needs a night off or whatever
Dude,
the case.
He's going to disappear for a two-week injury, and he's going to go golf, and he's going to stay in shape, and, like, that's what the deal is.
Is Maxey the best player on that team? Because I think it is. I
love Tyrese Maxey. I think that's the dangerous part is, like, that's a kind of any given night thing.
Right.
Like, I also watched Jaylen Brown be awesome last year.
I also watched Joel Embiid dominate that Celtics series.
I think that's on Nick Nurse on opponent to opponent. Where's the weakness? Who's got the best matchup? How do we exploit it?
Dude, their bench is pretty underrated and talked about. Like, Ant Simons as their seventh guy.
I didn't like Ant Simons here. As a seventh man, awesome.
Amazing.
I've been saying that for years.
Yeah.
Like, that is a great signing. And you're right. I think LeBron fills in where it's just like, look, we got young guys that can play now. I don't need to play that much.
He just wants to play in the games that matter.
Him and Embiid got to stay healthy for the playoffs, and they got all these young guys, even Jaylen Brown, to play in the regular season.
I do think it'd be, personally as a sports fan, cool story that if they won the title, I think it'd be really cool to watch Embiid be the MVP of a finals championship team. I don't know if it would happen, but it'd be really cool if he was the MVP of that series.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I don't know if they can beat Oklahoma City or San Antonio, but it's certainly a matchup nonetheless. Very interesting thoughts of can Dame Lillard play off the ball? That came from the funding. I didn't want to talk about funding more, you know, is what it is. All right, we got the city vote next week. I think it's going to pass. I think the Blazers stay. County gave them the monies. Loaded third hour of the radio program. We'll kick it off. Mike Sando of The Athletic released his quarterback tiers article. It always gets a lot of conversation. We'll talk with Mike Sando coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.